is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that I could in my life in this world.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Let us stand all over this place. God bless you, young people, on today. As you have blessed the Lord, you have blessed us as well. Amen. We thank God for you. I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Obadiah. And most of you will have, you got smartphones, so it ought not be a problem. But if you have your traditional Bibles, it might be a little difficult to find. You may have to go to the key to find it, amen. But Obadiah, verse 18. Obadiah, verse 18, amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'd rather be on God's side. Amen. I'd rather be on God's side. I'd rather be on God's side. And that 18th verse, if you have it, says, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And we're going to stop right there. Let me read that again. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. Father God, we ask you to bless us now. through your word. We thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And Father, we pray now that you would enlighten us through your word. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'd rather be on God's side. This particular passage that we have before us this morning is pertinent in the sense of what's going on now in Israel and Gaza, Palestine, and all of that. And I have really been prayerful, asking God to give me the courage to change where I need to change, to make correction, amen, applicable to those areas of my life that need correction. I really wish I could stand here as your pastor and tell you that I've got it all together, that I'm 100% in line with God's will and God's word. But if I did that, you already know what? I'd be lying. Amen. As if the tables were turned, amen, if you would say to your pastor, "Pastor, I got it all together. I got every area, every aspect of my life in line with the will, the word of God," amen, you too would be telling a great big one, amen? All right, and so in that sense, we say that the church is a hospital. The church is a place for folk who need a little help. And some need a lot of help. Amen. That's why when you go over to Bird, you find they got different wards. They got, amen, you know, the folk on the lower floors that seem to be doing okay, amen, got your private room and all of that. But then they got an ICU ward. That's for the folk who need a little more observation. They need a little more help. Amen. There's a pediatric ward. That's for the babes. And guess what? In the church, we got babes. We got folk who still on milk. Amen. Not ready for meat yet. Do I have any witnesses in here? We got the cardiac ward. Amen. That's folk with heart trouble. And some of you, if you be honest, you would have to admit that, yeah, I got some heart trouble. Amen. Because the Bible says that out of the heart flows the issues of life. And if you would, amen, just examine some stuff that comes out of your mouth, some stuff that comes out of your imagination, it would suggest that the real problem ain't your mouth and it's not your imagination. The real problem is in your heart. Amen. Some of y'all need to look at me. All right. And then they got a psych ward. All right. Y'all know what the psych ward is about. Amen. It's folk whose minds are diseased. Yeah, my heart is working real good. My body is functioning real well. But if the truth would be told, I got some mental issues. Amen. And the good news today is that the church is designed, the church is set up to handle all types of people. And so when we come in here, we don't have the luxury of pointing fingers at anybody else, because you're in one of those wards, whether you admit it or not. And is there anybody here that has joy because you know that we've got a doctor? Amen. There's a doctor in the sick room who's able to handle. You know, some doctors are specialists and some doctors they handle all kind of stuff. And that's the kind of God that we serve. We serve a God who's able to minister to whatever area of our life is in need of healing. We ought to give him praise today. And if you ever find a church that tries to convince the people in the church that you are somehow better than folk at another church, you need to put your tennis shoes on and run away from there as fast as you can, because all of us who wear flesh have issues. We have areas of our lives that need work. Amen. From the pulpit to the pew. And the day you come to Pleasant Hill and Pastor Garner stands up here and tells you that I am perfect like God is perfect, I am sinless like God is sinless, when I stand up here and say that, you better find you somewhere else to go. Amen. Hallelujah. This book of Obadiah is not often preached from. You don't hear us teach from it, because Obadiah and Nahum are two books in the Bible that deal with correction. They deal with rebuke. They deal with, amen, God's chastisement. Amen. There are warnings in this book against the people of God and against the enemies of the people of God. Throughout antiquity, foolish people have challenged God. It's an irrational and reckless contest. But humanity has been known to be reckless since the fall of Adam. Do I need to remind you? Amen. Let me remind you. Lot's wife challenged God with her disobedience. But guess what? She lost that fight. Pharaoh challenged God with his idols. But guess what? He lost that fight. Herod challenged God with his superstitions. But guess what? He lost that fight. The people of Jericho defied God. They said, we'll show them. Amen. They built a great wall around their city. But guess what? They still lost that fight. Jonah challenged God, but he too lost that fight. And I wonder this morning if there are any people in here who can look back over their lives and you can testify, I know what mama said, amen, I know what the preacher said, I know what those church folks said, but you decided to do your own thing, and you've got to admit on this Sunday morning that you too lost those fights. Whenever you thought you were big enough and bad enough to challenge God, I don't even have to hear it from you. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that anybody who stands up and challenges God, you will lose. And so that's why I made up in my mind that I would rather be on God's side. Amen. I would rather be on God's side. I prayed this morning, Lord, open my mind, open the avenues of my understanding such that if I need to realign or readjust my thinking, God, help me. I've been thinking about the fight in Israel with Israel, the IDF, and the poor Palestinians, and I've been saying, Lord, you know, it just don't seem right. It just don't seem fair that those people should have to suffer. I mean, after all, Israel has this great military machine. They've got this great defense system that even after Iran shot in some 300 missiles, Israel is so covered with defense, amen, that not very many of them got in. And so in my mind, I've been saying, God, something ain't right. Can I be real with y'all? I've been a little angry. I've been a little perturbed. I've even said I can't stand Netanyahu. Can't stand him. Amen. And I said, and there have been these folk who've been saying that we black folk in America are the real Israelites. And I know y'all been hearing it too, folks saying that the people in Israel now are not the true Israelites, and that those of us black folk here in America, we're the true Israelites. And in our cities, there are these folk in these purple robes, and they march around saying they're the true Israelites and all of that. And God said to this morning, whoever I say are the true Israelites, those are the true Israelites. And y'all, God said this to me in the bathtub. I mean, that's probably too much information. But he said to me, amen, amen, the folk in Israel are perhaps the true Israelites because I'm God. And no matter what anybody else says, whoever I want to be there will be there. Whoever I want to occupy Jerusalem will occupy Jerusalem. And so I said, Lord, just show me the reality of your word and your truth. And if you say it, I'm going to believe it. That's going to settle it. And I'm going to, amen, do whatever you say. You see, the wise know that fighting God is foolish. You cannot win. Tell your neighbor, you can't win fighting God. Come on, tell him. You can't win fighting God. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care where you got your degrees from. I don't care your family name. You cannot win fighting against God. You may experience temporary or momentary victory, but it won't last. And we pastors seldom preach from Obadiah. Maybe it's because Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament.
Only one chapter, 21 verses. Or maybe we avoid it because its message of doom and judgment has very little appeal to the masses of people. And so many times, amen, and it's a shame to say it, but it is a reality that many times pastors and preachers become people pleasers. And we only want to preach the stuff that's going to hype y'all up, the stuff that's going to make you shout, the stuff that's going to make you say amen, amen. But let me say this to me and every preacher here and every preacher under the sound of my voice, you better preach what thus saith the Lord. You better tell it, amen, amen. It may not be soothing, it may not be comforting, amen, but if God says preach it, you'd better preach it. And you would think that the shortest book in the Bible would have some appeal to folk. Amen. At least you could say, yes, I read a whole book of the Bible last night. Amen. I read the whole book of Obadiah last night. Amen. 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 But this lesson is full of warnings. Warnings. And I need to suggest to us today that these warnings from God can save us from a lot of trouble. You need to, and I want y'all to do this in your own time. I want you to look at the history of these people, the Edomites and the Israelites. They're the oldest examples that we have today of relationships gone bad. Amen. This whole fight between the Edomites and the Israelites is the oldest example we have of discord and division in human relationships. As a matter of fact, to say that they didn't like each other would be an understatement. They were at war with each other almost continually. A war that began in Rebekah's womb. Amen. Let me explain it. You Bible readers already know this, but let me break it down for the folk who may not have read it. Edom was a nation comprised of the descendants of Esau. Y'all remember Esau, don't you? He was Jacob's twin brother. Esau deprived Jacob of his firstborn birthright while they were still in Rebekah's womb by grabbing the heel of the baby brother and pulling him back. Then when they reached manhood, Jacob tricked Esau out of his ill-gotten firstborn birthright by bribing hungry Esau into trading his birthright for a bowl of food. Then fooling their blind and dying father Isaac into giving Jacob the blessing. From that day forward, there was animosity between these brothers. And we're still seeing it today. Amen. A lot of folks wonder, what are they fighting about? It goes all the way back, amen, to Rebekah's womb. It goes all the way back to promises that God made to Abraham. Amen. That's why I don't understand how folk don't believe the Bible. Oh my, we've got a living manifestation right before us on the news every day, stuff that's happening today. The Bible talked about thousands of years ago, and you don't believe the Bible? Edom remained at war with Israel for many years. Edom was always up to something. They pulled away from Judah. Amen. And they did stuff that was contrary to the will and the way of God. And because of that, amen, the Edomites were driven from their land and ended up in a place called Idumea. The Greek name for southern Judah, Idumea. And the people from that area were called Idumeans. Let me hear everybody say Idumeans. All right. Thank you, young man. All right. All right, Obadiah warned of Edom's destruction. So what happened to the Edomites, who became known as the Edomians, they were obliterated by Titus, the Roman general, in a rebellion against Rome. And if you would try to find their DNA, if you would try to find traces of these people that God told them to wipe out, guess what? You can't find any trace of them now. Hallelujah. God is God. God is God. God is God. All right? But they had three problems, and I'm going to share with you three problems that they had so that you can make sure you don't have these three problems. Number one, they were arrogant. arrogant. Their arrogance was a problem. Don't look at me, check yourself. Arrogant. If ever there was proof that pride goeth before a fall, that pride goeth before destruction, we only have to look to the Edomites. From Esau, and when you study this out, you find out that Herod the Great was an Edomite. He was a man from that lineage, Herod the Great. Edom thought they were the bomb. They were a world power in their day, with plenty of winning battles under their wing, and they took all the credit for their victories. Thus God said through Obadiah, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, whose habitation is high, who boastfully saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? And y'all, when I read that, I thought about this rapper that was in New Orleans, this rapper, and he's dead now, but they called him Messy Maya. And he was a rapper, and he had this, he was this content creator. He would do videos on YouTube and Facebook and stuff, and he would go around and embarrass people. He would tell folk off, amen, just do stuff to just break folk down and embarrass them. And then he had this line that he would say after he finished doing it, he would say, and who gonna pop me? And who gonna pop me? And guess how he died? Pop, pop. And I'm not laughing at that. I'm not gloating in that. I'm just telling you that arrogance and pride will destroy you. Let us make sure, Pleasant Hill, that we don't get caught up in ourselves, that we don't think too much of ourselves. Amen. Because of all the things God hates, pride is at the top of the list. If you want to fall quicker than quick, just start thinking too much of yourself. And you can always kind of tell folk who are full of pride. They got that tongue, that mouth. Amen. They say what they want to say, talk to you the way they want to talk to you, treat you the way they want to treat you. But you better remember something. God holds the next heartbeat in his hand. He holds your next breath in his hand. You better be careful about being arrogant and full of pride. I told y'all God talked to me this morning. Y'all know, I had problems with 45. Oh my. I didn't want him in the White House, but he's been in there 4 years, and I survived. Amen. The devil keeps tapping me on the shoulder and say, but if you get back in there, you better find you somewhere else to live. Amen. And my prayer has been, Lord, don't let him get back in there. But God told me this morning, even if I let him get back in there, remember this, I let him get back in there. He didn't get in there because of MAGA. He didn't get in there because of the hateful folk that support him. He didn't get in there because he has so much power. If he gets back in there, it's because I let him get back in there. And then God took me back to the book of Romans, where it talked about Pharaoh, and God said, I raised Pharaoh up so that I could show my power against him. Oh my, that's why it's dangerous, amen, when you get a promotion or when you get elevated in life to start thinking you're all that in the bag. It just may be that God lets you get that promotion. It may just be that God lets you get elevated so God could pull you down and show folk what you're really made of. You better learn how to be humble. Come on, where are my folk who know that humility is the way? Arrogance makes us think that attending church regularly makes us special. Arrogance makes us think that teaching Sunday school makes us special. Arrogance makes us think that singing in the choir makes us special. Leading a ministry makes us special. Feeding the hungry makes us special. Giving our tithe makes us special. Ministering to the elderly makes us special. Being faithful to our spouse makes us special. Being kind to our neighbors makes us special. Having a pleasing personality makes us special. But I need to remind you that you can do all of that and still go to hell. You ought to just thank God that he let you do whatever it is you're able to do in the church. Oh my, I don't ever fool myself into thinking that because I'm the pastor of Pleasant Hill that somehow makes me special. Amen. It makes me the more humble. Amen. Because I know that the same God who lifts you up can bring you down. Where are my folk who know God is deserving of a praise? Edom had an arrogance problem, but secondly, they had an attitude problem. Throughout antiquity, she had demonstrated a violent, hurtful, oppressive cruelty toward Judah. Obadiah purposely writes that her crimes of violence were against blood relatives. He says, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. God would no longer tolerate this violence that had begun when Jacob and Esau were born and had continued throughout the centuries. It was no small thing for Obadiah to write the words violence and brother in the same sentence. The Hebrew people forbade violence against family members, but Edom didn't care. Her rebellious attitude toward the law of Moses was evident in her profound boastfulness of her superiority. She had an arrogance and an attitude problem. Arrogant people usually have attitude problems. Do I have any witnesses here? Though it is possible to think your stuff don't stink and still treat others with a modicum or appearance of kindness, Edom made no effort to conceal